Now, brother,
read the Bible when you're weary and blue.
Why don't you
read the Bible, brother? Every word is true. Take your troubles to the book of life and pray. Read the Bible every day.
Reading from Revelation 22, verse 20. He who testifies to these things says, "Yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus."
Mm-hmm.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, June 7th, 2021. Tim, if you're tuned in, welcome to Springfield.
Hi, Tim.
Tim's first day working at the WLUJ studios in Springfield. He and his wife Beth purchased a home that they'll be closing on in a few weeks, and we welcome him to our staff and are excited for him to use his gifts to help us advance our threefold goals, to educate, edify, and evangelize. And Tim, I can't wait to share with our radio listeners in the days ahead just his gifts, his heart for people, and how God will use him in the days ahead. So welcome to the staff, Tim, and we are excited to see how God's going to use you in the days ahead. But it's Memorization Monday. We're looking at Revelation 22:20. And here to join us on this special day as we close out, this is our 100th Bible verse.
Yowzers.
Is our very own Bob Dickey. Welcome,
Bob.
He
started it all.
Good day.
Good day.
Bob, it was almost 2.5 years ago that you did the first verse with us on February 18th of 2019. We looked at Genesis 1:1.
Yes.
And, yeah, it's been almost 2.5 years. What happened is we began Memorization Monday on Monday, January 7th of 2019. Then the next week on the 14th, we had Robert J. Morgan interviewed. And
yeah.
Then you and I, Marianne, for I think the next 5 or 6 weeks,
yeah,
we read some of their, not early chapters. What was that called?
Well,
the prologue? Or
they're kind of chapters before the verses start. Yeah, they were very interesting and helpful about how to memorize things and the concept behind the power and importance of memorization.
Why have scripture verses saturating your mind and heart as you make decisions? And so that all began in January of 2019. And then February 18th, Bob, you did our first verse, Genesis 1:1.
It's so fitting that you're here.
Yeah. And so the other day we saw you and said, "Bob, could you be available for Memorization Monday and talk through Revelation 22:20 with us and give a little bit of an update on where God has you?" And I know you're starting a new thing with the Gideons on Conversations. And so we're going to let you give a little update on your life and your health and where God has you. And then we'll have Marianne read from Robert J. Morgan's book, 100 Bible Verses Everyone Should Know by Heart. But give us a little update. What's God doing in Bob Dickey's life?
Well, I'm still here. To a lot of doctors, they're very surprised. In fact, I just had a bone scan 2 weeks ago, and I went in and saw my radiology oncologist who looked at it. And he said, "Bob, there's been no significant changes in the last 6 months." And he said, "This is marvelous."
Wow.
And he said, "In fact, I don't need to see you every 3 months." He said, let's make it every 6 months right now."
Oh, my.
So it's not gone away, but it hasn't changed.
But I think the listener would need to also know that, I guess, about 3 or 4 years ago, there were dire predictions. In fact, nobody gave you many months to live. And you've gone through the cancer, the radiation, the white blood. You've gone through all the treatments known to man, anything that they could do.
Yeah. In fact, this last treatment I'm on, it's the fourth series of chemo. We've spread it out a little longer because it really hit me hard when I took it. But we've spread it out and we reduced the dosage a little bit. And it wasn't supposed to. In fact, we held it off on this because my oncologist told me that, he said, "Bob," he said, I don't have a lot of confidence in this treatment."
Mm.
And yet this treatment has worked the best of all of them.
Oh, my goodness. Mm.
So, I mean, again, it's not stopping it, but it's holding it at bay.
Yeah.
And so I was told, Mark, go back real quickly to refresh. Back in, it's actually April 2018, I was told, "Do everything you want to do this summer."
Yeah.
Because after this summer, you wouldn't be able to do the things you want to do.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, and here we are, 2021, okay, and I did have someone tell me, he said, "Bob, I'm starting to figure things out as I watch people go through this process. What kind of attitude you have and what kind of faith you have does make a difference."
Yeah.
And I'm convinced of that. And, power of prayer. Oh my goodness. It's not me, not just my prayer, but it's, you know, I'm just praying, Lord, take me on this journey and take me where you wanted me to go. But the power of prayer from everybody else is just, it works miracles.
Well, and you've handled it wonderfully.
Exemplary.
And you've been a model to so many of us. And, you know, I know some of the struggles. There were parts where, I forget the levels, but they were off the charts where people are supposed to be, just say at 21, for instance, you were like in the hundreds.
I was in the thousands. The PSA is the number you're referring
to.
Okay,
yes.
PSA. Okay, for men. Okay. And it's a number, but once it starts moving, it could be low three. But once it gets up to around 10, they get concerned. Well, mine here last summer was 1,600. And the doctors are looking at it and going, wow. Yeah. Okay. Well, now it's down to 150.
Yeah. My goodness.
Which is still off the charts.
Oh, it's off the charts.
And
but not
when
as
we're
off
talking
the
about
chart.
The PSAs, yeah. This is an aggressive cancer that is throughout your body and your bones.
Oh,
and,
yeah. It's everywhere.
But you've modeled to all of us finishing well, but it's like the Lord's keeping you around, and we thank him every day.
That's what I pray
and
all
Bob
the time.
Is still delivering papers. I mean, I've been waiting for that call for a couple of years to say, I can no longer help or whatever, and yet you're so cheery about it because you go into the retirement homes, you go into some of the restaurants, the paper man's here, and they're excited to see
you.
No, they're not excited to see me. They're excited to see that paper.
Oh, okay.
Because they love that paper, Marianne.
That's
they
great.
Love that
I'm
paper.
I'm glad to hear it.
And I've heard that over and over and over again.
Yeah.
It's great to be able to hear that kind of thing.
Yeah, it is.
And for those of you unfamiliar with Bob Dickey, I'll just briefly give a quick little introduction overview, because I know you want to get into this verse and share, and you've prepared to talk today. But Bob Dickey was always on my short list for about 15 years. He worked for Eastern Illinois Electric Cooperative in a lot of different roles and ended up as the vice president of what?
Marketing and Economic Development.
So
it was a title, okay? Nothing changed. He just got a new title.
I get new titles, too. Nothing
but he
changes.
Goes all the way back when we launched the radio ministry, and he was at the co-op and knew that we got on one of the co-op's towers, and he's been a Promise Keeper buddy and traveled to Israel with me and just been dear friends. But for about 15 years, at least once or twice a year, I said, Bob, you ever retire, you're on my dream team list. I want you a part of the ministry. Well, lo and behold, how many years ago was that? Was that 4 years ago?
Four years ago now.
Yeah, before the Prime Lifetimes paper. He was the one that I said, Lord, if Bob Dickey will come on the team and assist with the Prime Lifetimes, along with you, Marianne, I said that then it really is of you to move forward on it. And he said, sure, you've worn me down enough asking me to be a part of things. I'll concede. And so he was assigned the vice president of operations to help oversee the primary.
Another title.
And, yeah, another title. But this is a non-paying title. He was volunteering and helping. And so anyways, we launched the Prime Lifetimes publication with Bob's oversight, Marianne obviously on board, and others. And so that's continued almost these 4 years.
Yeah.
But I've marveled at how God continues to use you, your energy, your stamina, how you continue to deliver papers. And what a fitting verse to close out this book in this time is a verse that talks about he who testifies to these things. And I think about how often Bob loves to testify to Jesus and how he's at work. And then this verse goes on to say, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And Bob, you're all about introducing people to Jesus, talking about Jesus, encouraging people on their faith journey.
Actually, you have a gift at that.
Yeah.
I'm so serious.
Yeah.
I'm so impressed.
If you knew what I was like before Jesus and what he's done for me, even during the process, I'm not proud of everything I've done in my life, but to have that forgiveness, to know that, you know, that your eternity is secure. When you look at the world today and all of the changes that are taking place, when you look at all of the, what's happening in our country, all these things, people are going through the pandemic. People are searching, and a lot of things they had their foundation built on is gone.
But you have an ability to just be in conversation. Even before the pandemic, you would talk about, you're just being in conversation with somebody, and suddenly you're talking about Jesus. And it's amazing because you're not overbearing it. You just turn the conversation.
Well, it took practice. I've read a few books. Okay, I've prayed a lot about it. And one of the prayers I have is, Lord, when I wake up in the morning, Lord, would you give me an opportunity to share the gospel today?
I need to pray that.
So when you start off like that, okay, it doesn't happen every day, obviously, okay? But when you start off that way, two things happen. The Lord is preparing someone for you.
Yeah.
He's going to bring people to you. And the second thing is, I'm looking.
That's right. Yeah.
Because I'm focused on that. Okay, so...
There's an intentionality.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's intention. Exactly. In other words, it's a priority.
Did I make up that word?
No, I think it's a great word.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Yeah, sounds good to me. Sure. But it is. It's intentional. And I mean, what's it say? I come quickly. Yeah. Now, when we look at that quickly, a lot of people thought that meant he was coming very soon.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, when I look back at my life, I'm 70 years old today, or now.
Yeah.
I'm 70 years old.
I was going to say happy birthday. Go ahead.
No, it's not my birthday. It's not.
Cake, anyone?
It was past. Yeah. That's past, okay? But I think when you look back at your life, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's gone so fast. Time really is not of any essence once you've lived it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so our problem that we have as human beings is we don't value time as we should. And by the way, God's eternal. Time doesn't mean a thing to him, but he created time for us so that we could be intentional about what we do on a daily basis. Okay, and when he says, I'm coming quickly, there's two aspects of it. I think he is coming soon because he also gave us signs. I mean, it's soon, but the quickly aspect of it is you're busy doing something and you know that there's this deadline and you got to get something done, but all of a sudden time gets away from you, and then all of a sudden, whoa, it's the deadline's upon me.
Oh, that's interesting.
And am I prepared? Am I ready?
Right.
And when he says this in the scripture, the last things he says, and I want to talk about him testifying too, and this is Jesus who's actually, this is the last words he says in the scripture.
Oh, my goodness.
This is it. Okay. This is the third time he says it in chapter 22. I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. He's trying to get us focused on what's important.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And by the way, it took me a long time to get focused because I was so wrapped up in life and enjoying life that God created for me and the things he did and the people I get to know. The intentionality was not there, Mark.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, but as I've grown and understand that I'm getting closer and closer to see my Lord and Savior face to face, I want him to see that I was doing what he called me to do.
That's powerful.
That verse where he says, welcome my good and faithful servant.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think with time, too, we can set priorities, how we're going to use our time. You also saying that.
So, yes, and priorities are critical in life. I've learned if I don't set priorities, I can go in.
I'm off.
I'm ADD in this sense.
Yeah, right.
Because there's so many things that interest me.
Yeah.
Okay, but this is the priority.
Yeah.
This is. If we know Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, this should be our priority. And Jesus says, I come quickly.
Hmm.
Okay, now, here's a problem. Do I want him to come quickly? Because if I'm not doing what he wants me to do, I'm praying, Lord, give me some more time. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that doesn't mean I'm going to be doing what he wants me to do. The other thing is, if he's coming quickly and I want him to come quickly, have I reached out to those I love?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have I reached out and shared the gospel that God wants me to share? Jesus died for him. He loves him. And he wants them to hear the gospel. That's what the servant's all about. Mm-hmm. Feeding those with the word of God and the love of God and the gospel. And that's where I'm at this point in time. Now, I'm not in everybody's face, okay? But I'm looking for that opportunity because God's got to be working in their lives too. And the amazing thing, now, I can plant seeds, okay? We all can plant seeds, okay? But this should be a part of our life. It should be a part of our daily conversation with people that we know for sure, that we love, our family. Did you, for example, George Barna does a lot of research on churches. And here's what he says. He said, according to his surveys, based on the surveys that they have completed, 95% of evangelical Christians have never shared the gospel.
Hmm. Oh, my.
95%.
Upsetting statistic.
Yeah. Now, and then when we talk to pastors, you know, being in the Gideon ministry, when we talk to pastors, they're telling us the number one issue they have is they don't know how, or they want help in helping their people in their congregations learn how to share the gospel. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's their number one concern. And they don't know how to do it. Okay. And so, you know, that's what we're going to try to help them do.
Yeah, and that's what you're all about. But it really boils down to a very simple fact for all of us, and there's some good, healthy conviction, I hope, going out, because I'm feeling it.
Yeah,
but
me too.
If we truly believe that Jesus Christ came so that we could have a relationship with God, that because of his shed blood, because of his death on the cross, that our sins can be taken away, if we truly believe that.
And he rose again from the dead.
And rose again from the dead and sitteth.
And
the
says
right
he's coming again.
Yeah. And if we truly believe that and accept that, why would we not want to passionately share that every moment of every day? And I think of myself, it's because of insecurities, it's because of various things, competing interests, but really when it boils down to, that's the most important truth. It's for all eternity. Why would we not delight and want to share it? And I don't know, we don't.
We get distracted. Life is, again, you talked about priorities earlier, but here's something else I want to, it's not just about what we say. Okay, how's this verse start off? He who testifies about these things. Mm-hmm. To testify about something, what do you have to be able to do?
Observe it, be a part of it.
You have to, Gloria and I, by the way, Gloria and I, if I may throw this in, about 2 weeks ago, had to go drive to Yorkville, Illinois, to a bench trial, where we, for the first time, sat on the other side of that fence, that gate, whatever they call that, you know, and sat in the witness chair, and had to tell the truth, whole truth and nothing but the truth.
Oh, wow.
Okay, swear.
Yeah.
Okay, and he had to testify.
Uh-huh.
Okay, but the amazing thing about that is that it's not just what we say, it's how we live, right?
Yeah.
So sometimes we don't get the opportunity to say something, but we do something in the way we live that somebody looks at that and says, that's a different response.
Mm-hmm.
That's a different reaction. Right. That's not what. So it's not always what we say. It's also how we live. And we may not get to say something to someone, but they see that there's something different.
Right. Right.
Okay. And then someone else gets to water. Okay. We may have planted this thought. Okay. Somebody else gets to water and actually gets to share. Okay. And it takes time for all this to happen.
Well, it's interesting because in this scripture, he who testifies about these things is Jesus. And so he has incredible right to testify about these things. I mean, look at his life. Look at what he did. Look at who he is.
I mean, he told the disciples, you know, as he rose up to heaven, I'm coming back.
Yeah,
I'm coming back for you so that you can be with me. So he's been telling us this for a long time.
Yeah.
Okay, and we need to believe it. And so that should be motivating. It motivates me.
Right.
Okay, it motivates me, knowing that he's coming soon.
Yeah.
So reading about Revelation 22:20 will be Marianne from Robert J. Morgan's book, 100 Bible Verses Everyone Should Know by Heart.
And this is the 100th Bible verse. He who testifies about these things says, "Yes, I'm coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." This is the last promise and the final prayer in the Bible. It's also the last of the red letters in the New Testament, bringing to an end the actual spoken words of Christ in Scripture. Jesus is the one who testifies about these things and who promises, "Yes, I'm coming quickly." The word "testifies" is used in the sense of declaring or proclaiming, and the phrase "these things" encompasses the entire book of Revelation. The word "quickly" could mean either suddenly or soon or both. Three times in this chapter, Jesus tells us he's coming quickly. In verses 7, 12, and 20, it's a thrice braided cord. "Look, I'm coming quickly. Blessed is the one who keeps the prophetic words of this book. Look, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me. Yes, I'm coming quickly."
Mm.
The immediate response of John in verse 20 was "Amen." This is a term of agreement, meaning "so be it." Then John offered the Bible's concluding prayer, "Come, Lord Jesus." This is the equivalent of the Aramaic term "Maranatha." It's a prayer for us to repeat frequently. What a tragedy that Christians seldom pray specifically for the Lord to return. Hmm. Let's start including "Maranatha" in our prayer vocabulary. Think of the excitement of knowing that Jesus is returning at any moment. In the darkest days of the Reformation in Scotland, when the hearts of the faithful were low and languishing, John Knox accepted the invitation to return to his native land. Leaving Geneva, he bravely made his way back to Scotland. According to A.J. Gordon's book, Easy Venet, when Knox landed, word flashed across Scotland like lightning. Knox is back. Travelers suddenly mounted and sped into the country with the tidings. John Knox has come. At every cottage door, the residents stood and clustered, wondering, as horseman after horseman cried, "Knox has come." Ships departing from the harbor bore up to each other at sea to tell the news. Shepherds heard the tidings as they watched their flocks upon the hills. The whole land was moved, the whole country was stirred with a new inspiration, and the hearts of the enemies withered. If the coming of a mere man could so electrify a nation, think of how we'll feel when our Lord appears in the clouds at any moment and calls us home. Maranatha, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Revelation 22, as a chapter, contains the Bible's last beatitude, verse 14, the last invitation, verse 17, the last warning, verse 18 through 19, the last words of Jesus, verse 20, the last promise, verse 20, the last prayer, verse 20, the last benediction, verse 21, the last word, amen, verse 21. And here's a quote from the New Bible Commentary. The promise in this verse is the culmination of all promises, and the response is the sum of all living hopes.
Amen.
Thank you, Robert J. Morgan.
Wow, it's been almost 2.5 years going through this book and learning scriptures together and the importance of scriptures, saturating our mind and heart and thinking about them, getting to know God better through them.
And you know, Mark, a lot of people picked up this book and went with us through this journey. Mm-hmm. I can't believe how many people say, "I'm working on it, I'm learning it."
In fact, even last week I had somebody come in and buy 4 copies, and I'm in a small group that they're thinking about maybe going through this book in the days ahead. And
well, he encouraged me to memorize, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, and you can't go wrong with having scripture on your heart.
Not at all. Especially some of the areas that it addresses as well.
Oh, Bob, you just a real encouragement in general.
Amen and amen. Revelation 22:20, he who testifies to these things says, "Yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus."
Maranatha.
Well, everyone, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marian Simpkins, Bob Dickey with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.